God, we love you and thank you for this opportunity. God, as we open up your word, as we're talking about just making a difference, Father, I pray that it is your word that speaks to us. God, this passage that we read today from Paul to the church in Corinth applies to us. And may it meet us where we are. So thank you, God, for this opportunity for us to gather. And may these few moments that we have together be very impactful to us personally, leading then to our worlds that we live in. Amen. First off, I want to, we talk about making a difference. And I wanted to do this right here at this moment. I'm proud of Jamie. Okay? I think she did a great job. I can't imagine getting up here and doing what our celebration team does. All right? I was sharing with her earlier. She's like, yeah, I'm fine until I get up there and actually start strumming, and that's when I get nervous. And I was like, wow, I'm the opposite. Like, I'm nervous all the way up to I get up here, and then I get into the routine, and the nerves finally settle for me a little bit. I can't imagine the pressure for Michael Sykes to pick up one of these instruments and sing in front of you. Not happening. Thank you. I can't. it's not happening. So I'm really and truly proud, because it wasn't that long ago that Jamie was even picking up a guitar. But it's not just about, hey, let me go learn how to play this instrument. It's, let me take this gift and this ability. Let me put in work, with Caleb, with YouTube videos or Chord Buddy or whatever she used to teach herself how to play the guitar, the discipline and the dedication to sit down and learn these songs, and then not just sing, all right? Because there's a difference in singing and leading. But to get up here and to lead through the dynamics of the service, and I'm proud to see that. I'm proud to see her use this gift and her use what God's doing in her life for other people. I really am. It moves me. But I'm also proud, I was thinking about this, I'm proud of our teachers. Jessica and Sherry and Amanda and Sherry Bennett and Jackie Hall right now. I mean, these are all people that say, you know what, I have this ability to sit down and corral kids into a room without force, okay, without being mean, and I have the ability to present this material that's going to shape their life. It's planting seeds, and these ladies do this every single week, week after week after week after week. And I bring that up now because it flows right here with this spirit of making a difference. Because a lot of the times in the church world, we sit here and we think we're not really doing a whole lot, but we're doing something out of obligation, or we're doing because Michael asked me to do it, so on and so forth. And I can go down the list. Katrina and Lou in the back every single Wednesday, every single Sunday, sitting there advancing those slides. The number of people that do things in the community, Perry, checking. I mean, I can run down the list of things that we do, that we kind of shortchange a little bit. We discredit ourselves, and we're harsh on ourselves, and we're doing it, and we're not acknowledging it. And I want you to know I'm proud of these people, because they are making a difference. Anytime that I step into the arena of I'm going to give of myself, Ed talked about that a few weeks back, about I will serve. Most of the time, serving in the body of Christ and serving in the kingdom is not really super fun. Service, most of the time, takes sacrifice. It takes saying no to something that I want to do, or I could be doing something else. I'm going to do this for the kingdom. That's when we genuinely desire to do that, We are making a difference, even if it's only me. The individual, not Michael. Oh, we're serving Michael. I didn't want that to come out that way. So we're close to wrapping up this I Will series. And we're going to talk about this I Will Make a Difference today and next week. Okay, I've got just a few thoughts I want to share with you today. And then we're gonna unpack it a little bit more next week. If you haven't done so, I encourage you, get the book, I Will. Read it. It's a simple book. But it goes through the 9 attributes of an outwardly focused Christian. That's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about these 9 characteristics, these nine traits of someone who is outwardly or others focused. And, you know, some of them that we've talked about is I will move from I am to I will. And that's just the acknowledgement of, and you know, I'm going to tie this into being an appendix in just a little while. Some of us just sit here. Some of us just show up. Okay? Some of us is just, this is all I do. I come and participate in the 10:30 to 12 o'clock hours of Sunday morning, and then I go on. And the I am to I will is declaring that I will move from that to I will become this outwardly focused Christian. I will grow together with others. That's what our life groups are about. I mean, I wasn't kidding when I'm sitting around the table and somebody says something that challenges me in my faith. I will grow together with others. I will serve. I will go. We're going to see how well Joe did last week with I will give generously based on today's offering. But it's one of the things we joke about. I will give generously. And then today and next week, of course, I will make a difference. And so when we say that phrase, I will make a difference, one, it's vague. What does that even mean, I'll make a difference? Two, I believe that it is something that most people want to do. Most people want to look back on their life and they want to think that they made a difference. And so we're going to talk about this. And I don't know anyone who doesn't desire to make some sort of difference in their life. Right? Like, I mean, who is that person? You know, maybe it's as simple as I'm going to make a difference as a parent or a grandparent in the lives of my children or grandchildren. And that's fine. I know we're not saying that you need to become President of the United States and make a difference in the lives of everybody or have an influence on everybody. It's I will make a difference in my life, in my world. And so for some of us as parents, it starts there. As grandparents, it starts there. Maybe it's your career. I want to make a difference in my career. And so we have people, teachers, nurses, counselors, people who are called to a profession where they naturally make a difference. People choose these things because they want to make a difference. I remember my first trip to Zimbabwe, I met up with a lady, and I can't remember her name is, but she met us in Johannesburg. And she was a nurse, and her whole life was wrapped around serving on one of these mercy ships that just went from port to port to port, and they were a floating hospital. And she's like, I can't imagine a world where I'm doing anything else but helping people. I'm like, so she took her vacation time from the mercy ship to go to Zimbabwe with us and work at a hospital. Or maybe you want to make a difference and it's just all about, you know what, I volunteer. I volunteer at my church, I volunteer with my kids and their stuff and their activities, but I desire to make a difference. Most people that I know, whether it's unintentional or intentional, they want, when you have conversations with them, they want to be able to make a difference. I want to make a difference in other people's lives. And so as we talk about this, what does that mean, though, when we gather here at church and we talk about it in our context of being an outwardly focused Christian? I've read several stories this week. people who made a difference. It's one thing Disney Lines provided me the opportunity to read a lot of stories on my phone. And I read stories of Rosa Parks. I read stories of Anthony Omari, Irina Sendler, Joseph Winton, just to name a few. Those were some of the ones that really stood out to me. Men and women from different generations and at different social classes, different educations. Some had two parents, some didn't even know their mom and dad. All of these people made a difference within their life and their circumstances. But they all had one thing in common. They all had one thing in common. And it's that they all did something. They responded to their situation and they did their part within their circumstances. They moved from something I struggle with, good intentions. I have good intentions to do this. I have good intentions for that or for this. They moved from having intentions to action. And that made a difference in their world. I mean, you think about Rosa Parks. She finally got to the point where I'm just tired. I'm not going to give up my seat. Now, she didn't know what was going to come. You know, it wasn't her political statement to this is my approach. But it was, I am tired in this moment and I am going to give up my seat. I'm not going to give up my seat because it is not fair to be treated this way based on color of skin. Same thing with Anthony Omari. You read this guy's story. He works for an orphanage in Kenya. And this orphanage receives funds from humanitarian groups and food from humanitarian groups. And this orphanage would get raided by men with machetes. And he stood up to these men night after night after night, losing body parts. And in the picture that I saw of Anthony, he had stitches right down his forehead, right through here. Because he stood up and he did something. He protected those orphans. The same was Nicholas Winton. He saved children from the Nazi regime. It wasn't about intentions. It wasn't about, man, that would be good if somebody did that. These people are people who acted, who said, I can do my part in this. And so when it comes to our context of being an outwardly focused Christian, what does it mean to make a difference? This morning, and we're going to unpack this more next week, this morning I believe that it's, I'm just going to do my part. When it comes to obeying the Lord, I'm going to start by making a difference, by doing my part. And that's why I talked about the people I talked about. The ladies who were serving, Jamie, who's up here singing and leading. She's doing her part. And that's where it starts when it comes to making a difference, is that I am going to do my part. Now, we got to talk about what's my part. Well, Paul gives us a little bit of insight. I'm almost done, church. Paul gives us a little bit of insight. And I want to read this to you. And it's familiar. We've heard this before. But I want you to think about it when it comes to you figuring out what your part is. It's 1 Corinthians 12. Verses 12 through 31, he talks about the human body. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, How would you smell anything? Verse 18, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles. Second are prophets. Third are teachers. Then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others serve, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So, you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now, let me show you a way of life that is best of all. And we're going to finish that out next week. But hopefully, when you read this in this translation, you understand that God has brought the church collectively together. He's gathered us, LifeBridge Christian, to be part of His church globally. So we have a part to play there, but then you have a part to play here. And that's where making a difference starts. It starts here on the small local scale. Of this is the part of the body of Christ that I am a part of. How can I do my part? What is my part? And if the church is ever going to regain its momentum, if the church in America is ever going to regain its relevance and become the church that pushes back the gates of hell, as Jesus says His church does, it's going to have the church members, the parts of the body, step up to do their part. You want to make a difference in the lives of people. We've got to do our part. I was thinking about this, and I was struggling with it. I remember the appendix. I remember my appendix ruptured in eighth grade. It was gruesome. Poor Kathy Turner, she was the one that she took the brunt of it. Because when it ruptured, I started vomiting without control in my desk, eighth grade. And she was right here. Like my desk, and she's right there. And it was projectile. And I remember the whole ambulance ride, first time I've ever been in an ambulance, all this kind of stuff, and Dr. Crenshaw coming in, and your appendix is ruptured, and we got to do all this kind of stuff. And I remember eighth grade thinking, well, you're going to take a body part out. Like, I mean, I'm not the smartest kid in the world, but you're taking a body part out. Like, I don't have 9 more appendixes laying around. It's not a finger, all right? I remember the farmers who lost fingers, and it's not a finger. It's an appendix. And they're like, oh, well, you know, it really doesn't do anything. I'm like, what? That makes sense. And you read journals today, you'll find people that they'll argue that it's just some thing that we used millions and millions and millions and millions of years ago, if you subscribe to that. And it just doesn't serve a purpose anymore. Some will say that it actually stores is a storehouse for good bacteria, and so on and so forth. I don't know. I know that the mainstream medical people will say it's really not needed. It's there. It's an organ and it's part of the body. But it doesn't serve a purpose and it doesn't do anything. I got to thinking about that. The church in America is becoming full of appendixes. I'm talking about on a big scale. I'm talking about the number of people that, man, I just come and I just show up. I'm like, I don't want that. I don't want that for LifeBridge. And I don't believe that's who we are, truthfully. I don't, on a whole, I don't believe that we are a bunch of appendixes sitting here not fulfilling any purpose. But I don't want us to go down that path either. You know, earlier in this chapter, Paul said, a spiritual gift has been given to each of us. Don't miss this. So we can help each other. I mean, I look around this room and I see people with gifts. I know your gifts. I know a lot of your gifts. You've been given that gift by God. Why? So that we can help each other. The benefit, Michael is a better off person if you are using your gift. And here's the thing, if I've got this gift and I'm not using it, then what purpose are we serving? And so as we continue this next week, we're going to pick up with this whole making a difference. We're gonna pick up with what does this look like for me to do my part and what is my part? We've got a series of classes that we're going to be offering starting in March. We're going to do it 3 times this year. It's going to help you discover your gifts. We want everybody to take these classes. It's going to be about where you can serve. We've got a series of classes that we're going to help you so that you can get to the place where you can make a difference starting here, extended into your world. God, we love you, and I thank you for Paul's writing to the church. And I pray, Lord, that we walk out of these doors, we see that the church is made up of many parts, and everybody here is a part of it. And so, Lord, may we be moved to not be like this appendix that doesn't serve a purpose. God, may we know our part, and may we fulfill our part. May we use and do what you've gifted us to do so that we can benefit others, Father God. Help us to make a difference, not just within the walls of this room, not just within our life groups, but God, let that extend into our families. Let that extend into our marriages. God, let that extend into our workplace environments, where we are using our gift to serve others and we are making a difference in the lives of others, God. So, Lord, I pray that you'll teach us this next week what that is. Amen.